This morning we've received four communicant members and witnessed the baptism of two covenant children. And as we have heard vows and as we have participated in rituals that belong to the church, I want to take a step back and consider what we're doing. What is the purpose of all of this? We've read a parable from Luke 14, and we see that in that parable, the kingdom of God is likened to a great feast where God calls sinners to come and to be a part of that feast. A master has thrown a feast, and those that he's invited have said, "We're really not able to come." And the master says, "Go and fill my house. Go and make sure that this feast is supplied with those that would come." The parable is simple. Again, a master throws a feast. That master represents God, and the feast is being called into the kingdom of God. And he sends his servants out, those that go and proclaim the gospel. They're sent out to proclaim that this feast is ready. And in the context, the Jews of the day were told that Christ, the Messiah, had come, that this one who was born and then who ministered and who would eventually die and be buried and raised again, that this one, this Christ, is the Messiah. And the Jews were called to come and to be a part of that kingdom that Jesus was building. But the parable is full of excuses, isn't it? I bought some property. I've got to go work on that property. Or I bought some oxen and I've got to go make sure that they're properly aligned. Or I bought a wife and you don't need to come because you're not bought a wife. He got a wife. And I can't come because I got a wife. And the master then says, all of these that I've invited, they're not coming. So I want the servants to go out and to declare among all of those that would hear that there is a feast prepared for them. And what I would like to do to you today, whether you are here as part of our regular congregation, or whether you're here visiting, or whether you're here because it is in your mind a day of obligation, there is a feast. There is a kingdom, and that kingdom is the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and those that are the servants, those that are called to bring that message, are called to compel, that's the word in the scriptures, to compel you to come. So I extend this invitation to you today that we see in verse 22. The invitation is simple, and still there is room. The invitation is that there is still room. The Lord Jesus stands here today before you in the preaching of the Word of God, and Jesus does not stand in a helpless state, but he stands as the one who is ascended, who has inherited the nations, and the one who says that he loves sinners. That he loves sinners, and this glorious invitation goes forward for you. And still, there is room. Did you notice that in the text? Luke 14, 22, the servant invites the lame and the hurting, and the house begins to fill. And as the house fills, he says to the master, I've done what you've said. I've compelled them to come. The feast is filled up, and as I look at the tables, and as I look at the chairs at the feast, and as I consider what is here before you, there is still room. This is the love of God extended for sinners, extended in such a way that every hearer present today can hear this gracious invitation from God that there is still room. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to begin with looking at our first heading, and we're going to consider the reception of those for whom it is said, and still there is room. So surely this servant says that there is room. There is room for you today who hear the word of God to come to Jesus Christ and to be received into this kingdom. But you might ask yourself, how is one received? What is the means by which one comes into this kingdom if I am to be received? We know that Christ is the means, that Jesus Christ is the means for coming into this kingdom. And Jesus says, I am the door. John 10:7, Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. If you want to come in to this kingdom of God, if this is something of any interest to your mind or to your heart, the means to get there is through Jesus Christ. If any man enters that door, he is promised eternal life. He is promised salvation. Robert Murray McShane, preaching on John 10, said that there are many sweet invitations to sinners in the Bible, and I have often felt that these words are the sweetest. Jesus Christ is the door, and he stands at that door for all that would receive him. But I want you to consider something about this Christ or something about this door. Maybe you have an image in your mind or a thought in your mind about what type of person Jesus is, or the character of Jesus, or the things that he has wanted from you in order for you to come to him. Maybe you were raised with certain ideas that there were things you needed to leave at the door in order to come to Christ. Maybe in your head you thought, well, I can't go and be a Christian because I do this, or because I look this way, or because I have this tattoo, or I have this piercing. Whatever it is, whatever the thing that's holding you back from considering the fact that you are welcome to come and to receive Christ and to be a part of this kingdom, I want you to know something about that door. That door is unguarded. You might say, that sounds like dangerous theology. But that door is unguarded. As long as you come through that door, who is Jesus Christ, you are welcome. There's no secret password. There's no obligations for what you look like. There's no requirements for what it means for you as you have grown up, or your education level, or the words that you know, or whether you've ever opened the Bible. If you come to this door, and if you come through Jesus Christ, you are welcome into this kingdom. You remember when Adam and Eve sinned, and they would have had access to the tree of life, that they could have lived in their sin even forever. And what God did was he protected the door. He guarded the door with angels, with lit swords, that no human would come and be able to eat from the tree of life, for they would live forever in their sin. But this door in the kingdom of God, which is Jesus Christ, which is today even open for you, is unguarded. You may come, and yet there is still room. And as you are being called, you must remember that the covenant of grace is different from that old covenant, that guarded covenant that said, work, work, work. You come to Jesus Christ and you may enter in. There is access for sinners like you and like me. And what is behind that door? What is that, that into which that reception brings you? If you consider that door and you consider that Christ is the door and consider that it is even today open for you that you may walk through it, what is there on the other side of that door? It is the Father's house. You are welcome into the Father's house. You are welcome into that kingdom that Christ is building. The prophet Isaiah speaks about this in so many ways. And one of the ways that he speaks of this prophetically is that he points out a woman who is barren, a woman without children. And he says to her, sing, O barren woman, sing, for you will have many children. And he calls upon that buried woman, that barren woman, to extend her tent, to make her home bigger, that it may be filled with children. Listen to how he says it. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. That's the kingdom in which you are welcome and to be received. And as you think about the fact that there is still room, you might look around the kingdom of God and you say, there's no room for me. And Isaiah says, make the tent bigger. If anyone feels as though there is not room, make the tent bigger. Extend the cords. Make the curtains larger that they may come in. The reception of sinners coming into the Father's house is a reception that is unguarded. You are welcome. You are welcome in the Father's house, and there is still room. But I want you to be clear about something. This reception is not for those who think that they are good enough. It is not for the perfect. It is not for those that think that somehow you have made it, or somehow you've earned your way in, or somehow you've finally come to live this life that somehow satisfies God. This reception is for sinners. And the invitation that goes forth is only for those that need a Savior. As you think about yourself and as you think about your life, if you think, you know, I'm good enough and I've got it together and I've got it figured out and my life is good and I'm on the right path and I don't mess up and I just need to keep doing what I do, I would call on you to consider whether this invitation is for you. For this invitation is for sinners to come. All who hunger and thirst. It is an invitation for those that are burdened with this life and those that are heavy laden. The invitation is for all who know the longing of desire to want to be filled. It is an invitation that goes out to all who Augustine at one time said know that void within them in the shape of divinity. Something that only God Himself can fill. Friends, this is the reception. All of those that are called and all that are received, all are welcome unto Jesus Christ. And yet, there still is room. Sinners are welcome to come to Christ. And as they come to Christ, He recognizes them. Jesus tells us that. He says that my sheep will hear my voice. And as the sheep of Christ, as we come to Christ, we hear His voice and He sees us and He recognizes us. Have you ever had one of those experiences where maybe you weren't feeling well and you needed to run to Publix or CVS to get some meds or something, or the kids are hungry and you just run out to get bread or whatever it is, and you just don't really get yourself presentable the way you would like to be presented, and there in a far aisle you see somebody, maybe it's somebody from work or somebody from church, and you just kind of do this and you just quickly go because you don't want to be recognized. But friends, as you come to Christ, you are recognized. And I want to meditate with you, secondly, this morning on that, the recognition, and still there is room. How are sinners recognized when they come to Jesus and are saved? As sinners approach Christ, does Christ look at them and say, you know, I don't want to be seen, or I don't want to be seen with that person? You know, maybe you've got the crazy relative that you're going to be eating dinner with today. Maybe you're the crazy relative. But that one that in the family, if you saw in public, you just don't want to be acknowledged that you share the same last name or that you are related. As Christ sees sinners coming, as they come through that door and as they come into that kingdom and as that tent is expanded for sinners, Christ looks at you that would come to Him and He recognizes you. He knows you by name and He calls you as one of His own. We hear this phrase, and still there is room. And we see that those that are called and those that respond, they come to God as friends. They're recognized as friends. And I want you to just meditate on that for a moment. Let your soul be saturated in this truth. John 15, Jesus says, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I call you friends, for all things that I've heard from the Father I have made known unto you." You may go to that house, you may go to that kingdom, you may go through that door, and as you go in, it's not one of those experiences where you say, you know, I don't really know anybody here. I'm going to be the wallflower. I'm not sure what to do. Jesus Christ says that as there is still room and as you come in, you are welcomed and recognized as a friend of God. Friends, can you imagine this great benefit? What it means that the God of all creation, the one of whom the sacred cherubim cry, "Holy, holy, holy." This one is not just one that you come to as the God of the universe. You come to Him as a friend. You are able to be a friend of God. But I want you to know that you will be more than friends when you come to Jesus Christ. You are called also a son or a daughter. You are called children of the Most High. You are adopted into this family as you come through these doors, and as you hear there's still room, and as you make your way in, you are adopted as a son or a daughter. Our shorter catechism asks, what is adoption? And the answer is, adoption is an act of God's free grace whereby we are received into the number, and listen to this, have a right to all the privileges of the sons of God. These become your rights. You have rights and privileges as sons and daughters of God, and you are called to come to Jesus and to have your sins forgiven, to come to this mountain that is Zion, to come to the Father's house and be welcomed, not merely as visitors or not merely as those with a passport or those that have paid their entrance dues. You come as friends and you are welcomed, and you come as sons and daughters, children of the Most High. God says to his people, I will dwell with them and I will walk with them and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Do you hear today? Do you hear of this need and this great desire to come? Do you know your need for Jesus Christ? And do you know that as you come, you are welcome, and that you will be received? I believe one of the greatest failures of the 20th century church, and now into the 21st century church, is that those that do not know Christ look at the Christians they know and they say, whether rightly or wrongly in their minds, their God would not welcome me. Sinners are welcome, and they are received, and they become friends with God, and they become sons and daughters of God. But they're also received in the Scriptures as the spouse. The idea of Christ having a bride, and that bride being all of those that come unto him, collectively gathered as the bride of Christ, that language is everywhere. We see it in Ephesians 5. We see it in other places as well. We can think of the way that Paul says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You see, Jesus loves his bride. Will you be among her? Will you be part of that bride? That bride that Jesus doesn't reluctantly say, you know, the door's unlocked, but don't come. The light's on, but I hope you don't need it. The key's under the door, but don't drop by uninvited. This is not the Christ of the Scriptures. The Christ of the Scriptures woos sinners the way that a young man will woo the one that he wants to be his bride. Jesus Christ says to his bride in the Song of Solomon, behold, you are fair, my love. You have dove's eyes behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock going down from Mount Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn sheep which come up from the washing, each one bearing twins, none barren. Your lips are like scarlet, Your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like pomegranate. Your neck like the Tower of David for an armory on which hang 1,000 bucklers and shields of mighty men. And your breasts are like 2 fawns which feed among the lilies. Jesus Christ woos sinners. And he welcomes them to be received. And as he receives them, he recognizes them. And he names them as friends. And he names them as children. And he names them as a spouse. And we're reminded that this Christ that woos is altogether lovely. And he calls you from among the children of men to be, in a sense, that very queen of heaven whose sins are forgiven, who is washed as snow, and who is the one who is beautiful among the daughters of men. And friends, you hear this and you might think this is something of interest to you. You may hear this and say, this is something I want to be a part of, or this Christ is one that I need. You might say, I don't know if that's for me. I don't know if that's for me. Friends, and there still is room. You are called to be a friend of God and a child of God, and you are called to be this bride of Christ. And as you come in and as you come into that Father's house, there is, as in many great estates throughout the ancient world, there is a place within that home that is the Father's house, that is a most holy place. A place where you are invited only through Christ to come. You can think of the way that the temple was designed in the Old Testament. And that temple had a veil. And that veil separated the holy from the most holy. And most of us, being Gentiles, we couldn't have gotten in to see that. And in that most holy place was where God was said to dwell, and where God was said to reign. You are called into the presence of God. You are called into the holy of holies. Matthew 27 says, "And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." And when this happened, this opened the very presence of God for sinners who would come, able to come to the mercy seat. For he is holy, and he calls sinners to be made holy and to stand before his very presence. And you might think to yourself, that's well and good, Pastor Nathan, but I am unholy. I am unable. And the parable reminds you that still there is room. If you come through this door, and if you come through Christ, you are welcomed into that holiest of places, into the presence of God, and you will be welcomed as a friend and as a child and as a spouse. Welcomed into the presence of God. And as we come to that most holy place, we will have a feast. And this is the context of the parable. You are called to a feast. A great feast being given for Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ. in a great feast where Jesus sends forth those invitations, asking that you would respond. The scriptures say, in the mountain of the Lord of hosts will make for a people a feast of chosen meats, a feast of wines, a feast of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wine. Friends, this is the feast to which you are invited, and you're reminded, and still there is room. And I want you to think about how in your heart and in your mind you're responding to this invitation that goes out to every one of you. And as you consider that and as you meditate on that, you may be having something of an internal dialogue, considering whether this feast is for you or considering whether this is something you even care about. Let's get on so we can move on with our day. Or considering maybe that you cannot come. Maybe in your head and in your heart you say, I cannot come for I am too sinful. Or some of you say, I cannot come, my faith is not strong enough. Or some of you might say, I cannot come because I just fail all the time in the promises that I make. Loved ones, there is room in the kingdom of God. There is room in Jesus Christ. We've seen a Watson, and we've seen a Jamin, and we've seen a Grace, and we've seen a Lucy. Different people, different problems, different burdens, different concerns. Coming to Christ and saying, this is what I need. There is room for you. Consider those welcomed in the scriptures. Consider Saul, who was the persecutor of the church, murdering Christians. There is room. Consider a Mary Magdalene, one who by profession was a prostitute. There was room and is room for Mary Magdalene. Consider Matthew, the gospel writer, a tax collector. Let's face it, everyone hates the IRS. There is room. Consider a Nicodemus, one with degrees and called a master in Israel, one that should know the Bible, who didn't know anything. There's room. Consider a Thomas that with dishonor, with disrespect to Jesus, says, I'll believe when I can put my fingers in your wounds. Friends, that is not faith. That is dishonor. You would not approach someone that just exited surgery and say, I don't believe that you had that surgery unless I can put my hand in your wound. There's room for a Thomas. There's room for Peter, who with cursing said, I do not know this man. But is there room for you? I want you to consider that question. I want you to uncomfortably consider that question. The parable says, and still there is room. Thirdly, we see the request to those who hear. The request. And still there is room. Friends, Jesus has a room with space enough for you. There is space enough for all sinners that would turn unto Jesus Christ. And I would want you to hear that even as a personal invitation today. And still, there is room. So who is invited? Those who are in need of comfort and assurance are invited. Some of you have frequent concerns of conscience. And you say, I'm trusting in Christ, but I'm just always wrestling with this. I'm always struggling here. Or some of you say, Pastor Nathan, I believe the gospel, and I just never have assurance. I never believe that God loves me. Or I never trust enough that the gospel is for me, or that I'm among the number of those that God loves. The invitation is for you. There still is room. You may come. You may not be able to come boldly. You may crawl. You may come feebly. You may say, friends, carry me. But come. Jesus looks at your need for comfort and your need for assurance. And Jesus says, there is still room. Come. And I want to invite those of you that John Bunyan would call Jerusalem sinners. Jerusalem sinners, those that are a part of the church and those that from week to week hear the preaching of the gospel. Those of you that have your children baptized and you're at the public worship services of the church. And in your heart, Christ affects your life very little. You hear of Christ and you hear of His benefits from week to week and year to year, and you do nothing. You never reach out by faith. You've never trusted in Christ. You've never repented of unbelief or of sin. And there will come a day when the gates will be closed. There will come a day when you will be wooed no more and the knocking will stop. And you hear that and you say, examine my heart, and you look at your life and you look at whether you believe and whether you're here just because you're supposed to be here. And as you hear that there will come that day when the knocking of Christ and the wooing of Christ will stop, I want you to hear this. Today is not that day. Today is not that day. It may be tomorrow. But today is not that day. Answer before it's too late. And still there is room. There is room for Jerusalem sinners. And this request or this invitation goes out to all that are unrepentant and all that live and remain in sin. You might think, well, there's this little sin that keeps me from Christ, or this hardness of heart, and when I hear the gospel preached, it just makes me angry. Or maybe you've sinned and you believe that somehow you are beyond forgiveness. Maybe you say, Pastor, if you knew the people that I'd been with and you knew the things that I've put into my body, and you knew the thoughts that come into my mind, and you knew the hardness of my heart, you would never say that the gospel is for me. But friends, this is what I say to you today, and yet there is still room. You may come, and you may come with boldness. Even if you think that you are unable to come to Christ, and if you consider your sin, and as you consider all the inheritance that you have wasted away, and as you look deep within your heart, and you believe that God is done with you, and you believe that there is no way back, know that there is still room. You may come boldly. Others may know their sin. Others may be in, at times, darkness. And you too are called to reach out to the bloodied hands of Christ and to grab a hold. That invitation is that there is still room. You can turn to this Christ. Others of you might know your sin and compare them to others, and some may say, well, at least I'm not like that person. And others may look and they say, well, I know I'm better than that, or I know that this person is like that. And I want you to know that the gospel is also for you. The invitation is for you. And you might look at yourself and you say, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner, and I don't know what to do. I don't know how to respond. Or I look at myself and I say, there's no sinner in this room that is worse than me. No one here is as bad as I am. And I want you to hear 1 Timothy 1:15. The apostle says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul says, I'm the worst sinner, and I've come to Christ. There is still room. 1 Corinthians 6 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators or idolaters or adulterers or homosexuals or sodomites, thieves or covetous or drunkards or revilers or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. You say, well, Pastor Nathan, that goes against everything you've just said. Listen to the next. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. And such were some of you. There is still room. If you sit here today in hopelessness, there is still room. So many feel hopeless during this time of the year. It is for many a time of sadness and isolation. And deep within, you may experience that loneliness for a life hard lived. And many will carry not only the weight of sin that we've talked about, but the difficulties of this life. Life is hard for many. And the gospel is also for you. There is still room. You see, the gospel is for all sinners that fall short of the glory of God. And friends, that's you and that's me. The scriptures say that it's all of us. And Jesus Christ died for sinners. And if you fit that description, if you could look at your life and say, I have fallen short, then you are qualified to come. And still, there is room. Friends, come. And still, there is room. Amen. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the beauty of the gospel. And as many today are thinking of a Christ who has come, let it not be lost on any the reason for which Christ has come. He came to die that sinners may live. May we come into your house even boldly, believing in Christ and knowing that for sinners there is still room. Amen.